And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, and I hope that all of you, in spite of the craziness that is going on around us, you know, I have a staff meeting every morning, and we always open the staff meeting with prayer. And as a minister who works with me on my stand team was praying, he began the prayer with, "Oh God," "Oh God." And I thought, you know, that's exactly how I think a lot of us feel right now. Oh God, what is going on here? Lord, we really do need your intervention. But, you know, in spite of all of that, God is on the throne. And, you know, none of this surprises him. He's not shocked. He's not in heaven saying, "Wow, you know, I never anticipated this. This really caught me off guard." You know, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about everything. And so God is not shaken. He's not sitting on the throne trembling, wondering, "What am I going to do about this? This is one of those intractable problems for which I have no solution." God knows exactly what he's doing. And those of us who put our trust in him can feel exactly the same way. We can be at peace. We can be calm in the midst of all of this and just know that God is going to take care of us and take care of everything. We just have to keep trusting him. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take care of everybody, because those who don't put their trust in him, well, they get taken care of by other forces, namely the devil. He's got a plan for people too. But if you want God's plan, which is to do you good and not harm, to give you hope and a future and an expected end, you've got to put your trust in him. Now, I've been starting these programs since particularly, isn't it interesting, the riots across the country have sort of moved COVID-19 off the front page, off the front and center of all of the cable programs, and this is what they're talking about now. So it's just how interesting one crisis can supplant another. But just watching the situation unfold, I have been starting the program with a scripture because it just seems appropriate to have a spiritual reference for this. Because make no mistake about it, my brothers and sisters, this is a spiritual issue. This is ultimately not economic. This is ultimately not about police brutality. And I'm not saying that that's not a real thing and horrible thing that happens. So please don't misunderstand me. But this is ultimately at root a spiritual problem, and it requires a spiritual solution. And the only antidote for the spiritual problem, which is sin and the corruption of the human heart, the only antidote for it is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That's it. That's all. And everything else that people try to do is a dead letter. It will simply not solve the problem. In fact, don't we already have? You know, they were talking about the fact that the last time there were widespread curfews across the country was 1968 as a result of the riots of 1968. 52 years later, same problem. So obviously what some people have been doing is not working, because if it were working, we wouldn't be having the same issues and doing the same things 52 years later, you think? But this whole situation took me to Hosea chapter 4. Of course, there's a famous verse in Hosea chapter 4, but which is Hosea chapter 4, 6, and you all know what that one is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But Hosea chapter 4 begins with this: "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away." And that ends the third verse. And then the sixth verse, of course: "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I also will reject you, from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. And you know, for many people in our country, think about the tremendous institutions we've created in this nation, the tremendous wealth we've created. And for the most part, the major institutions of our country have gone the way of Baal. They have gone the way of idolatry. They have completely rejected the law of the Lord. They are in outright rank rebellion against Almighty God. That's exactly where we are. And look, it is only the existence of children of God in this country providing the salt and the light that God told us to provide that I really believe withholds the judgment of God. If it weren't for us, I would shudder to think what God would allow to happen. You know, people think that the judgment of God requires that God take affirmative action to do something to a nation. But you know what? That's not always necessary. All God really has to do is withdraw his hand of blessing and protection. And when he does that, all hell breaks loose. Because he's the one, by the power of the Holy Spirit, restraining Satan and all of his minions from doing everything they want to do. And of course, we know what they want to do: steal, kill, and destroy. And so to the extent that we see that breaking out in the country, that's a spiritual issue. Those are spiritual forces that have been unleashed by people who simply reject God, his ethic, his law, his way, his vision, his purpose, his plan. No, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to solve these problems on their own. And look at what it gets us. But the sixth verse offers this hope. Come and return. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. I believe that's a prophetic reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. I really believe that that's a reference to God pouring out his spirit upon people to bring about that return. And that's what we're asking God to do for the United States of America. And I really believe God is going to do it. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, don't know through whom he will do it. I hope he'll use you and use me and use all of us. As we stand up for him and as we speak for him and as we continue to hold fast to the standard the word sets for us. You can't justify stealing. You can't justify hatred. You can't justify looting. You can't justify murdering and assaulting. And you can't say that that's all in the cause of justice. That's in the cause of evil, period. That's all in the cause of evil. There's nothing just about that. There's no way that can lead to justice. You know, as bloodshed upon bloodshed, as I just read, bloodshed upon bloodshed. So you're upset about one bloodshed. So now here's what we're going to do to solve that. We're going to shed some more blood of some more innocent people, perhaps. We're going to attack some police. We're going to kill some cops. We're going to rob some businesses and shoot anybody who gets in our way. You know, that same book of the Bible says, and I believe it's the 8th chapter, you've sown the wind and you reap the whirlwind. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Presidential campaigns in this country follow a predictable pattern. The Republican candidate caters to the conservative voters most likely to vote in the primaries. Once winning a nomination, the candidate sprints to the middle in order to win in the general election. A Democratic candidate does just the opposite by appealing to liberal voters. Once the nomination is secured, he or she sprints to the center to win the general election. That has been the pattern. But not this time. Joe Biden is doing just the opposite. During the Democratic primary, he was often perceived as a centrist candidate. Sometimes he would adopt some of the ideas of the progressive wing. But he was often seen as the one defending Obamacare and rejecting Medicare for All. He was the sensible alternative to progressives like Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Elizabeth Warren. Something happened on the way to the Democratic convention. He and his campaign have embraced more and more left-wing ideas. Kevin Williamson calls it the Biden inversion. Whatever it is unique to modern American politics. Running in the primaries is a time to shore up your support and energize your base. A little of that is still necessary during the general election, but most of the time the candidate needs to reach out to the voters in the middle who aren't convinced. A certain percentage of voters will vote for Donald Trump no matter who opposes him in the fall. A certain percentage of voters will vote Democratic whether Joe Biden was the nominee or not. The electoral battle is in the middle. But Joe Biden seems to be sprinting to the left. Taking strong progressive stands on issues will energize the left wing of the Democratic Party, but I think it risks losing voters in the center. If Joe Biden wins in November, he will have reversed a pattern that has been in place for decades. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. pointofview.net.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Black Americans, including cops, are now getting killed in the rioting and mayhem. Protesters burn the American flag. L.A. Mayor Garcetti tells young black men exactly what they do not need. 400 looters are let out of jail in New York to loot again, and the military starts to deploy to stop the violence and restore peace. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we are back. Now, when I say all hell is breaking loose, of course, those of you who know this network and know American Family Radio and know me and know this program, you know that we don't use hell in a vulgar sense. We use it in a literal spiritual sense. When I say all hell is breaking loose, I literally mean that demonic forces are just running amok in our country and having their way. And it's going to take the power of faith and the church to stand up against this and bring the spiritual dynamic of this mess to a halt. Because here again, I think I said it on Monday, maybe I repeated it yesterday, but the murder, the killing of George Floyd was a work of the devil. Let there be no mistake about that. That was a work of the devil. It was horrific. It was disheartening. It was inhumane. It was heartless. It's just amazing to me that a human being can treat another human being that way. And ultimately, to me, skin color is kind of a footnote. It's because you've got a human being and you're basically being warned repeatedly to get your knee off the man's neck, and you just ignore all of that and just continue to hold it there. Something's missing in the heart of a person who can do something like that. But let me hasten to add, the robbing, the pillaging, the looting, the assaults, the murders, and there have been at least 11. And many of these murders, by the way, of black people, who presumably these protests are about Black Lives Matter. Well, that's interesting, because black people are dying in the riots and the protests and not at the hands of the police, by the way. You've already got at least, I believe it's 5 times as many people have died in these riots, not at the hands of the police, 5 times as many as were killed in the incident that sparked this little uprising. Now, how does that make any sense at all? Well, it doesn't, because this is a work of the devil. This is not a work of justice. It's not a work of equity. It's not a work of redress. It's not a work of expressing your grievance. This is a work of the devil, trying to create havoc in our country, trying to destabilize our nation, and as I said before, trying to delegitimize our country. Well, all hell is breaking loose in all kinds of ways, and it's interesting to me, the craziness really comes out in circumstances like this. You really begin to see how crazy people are. And I'm probably not going to go where you think I'm going to go, so pay close attention, because this is probably going to shock you. One of the craziest things I've heard, just came from Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, and I don't know whether he wrote a full letter, but apparently he's treating it as such. He tweeted out somewhere here again, and even if he wrote a full letter, I don't want to read this stupid thing, but he tweeted out a letter to dear white people. Dear white people, we are the ones that need change. This is not one man's story. This is almost every black man's story, which is why the problem is ours. We need to find our way to change what we do. There is no quick fix. It's a moral imperative. Now, of all the dumb things I've heard Mark Cuban say, that probably takes the cake. If you had a dictionary of dumb things that Mark Cuban has said, that would probably be in the forefront. For first of all, let's just, can we just get down to brass tacks for a second here? You know, I said on Monday, this is a clash between two different worldviews and two different perspectives on our country. And here's another aspect of it. It is a clash between those who understand that America is a nation of individual liberty, personal responsibility, not a collectivist gathering of different identity groups. We are individuals. So wait a minute. When you say it's the white people's problem, well, wait a minute. White people didn't kill George Floyd. A particular person did. And it's his problem. And maybe the problem of the police officers who stood around and didn't do anything, didn't intervene, didn't even speak up, maybe their problem. But how is it the problem of a whole demographic? And by the way, let me hasten to add, one of the reasons why I absolutely maybe I'm about to state it a little too strongly, but because I have to use it myself sometimes just to try to be understood. But I just do not like the designation white people. I don't particularly like the designation black people either. I think black people has a little bit more justification than white people. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. Up until the 18th century, there was no concept of white people. It didn't exist. And really, the concept of quote-unquote white people was developed primarily as a racial ideology to justify the enslavement of darker people, namely Africans. But when Frederick the Great was out conquering Europe and when Napoleon was out conquering Europe, they weren't saying, well, now let's not conquer the white people. Because, you know, after all, they're just like us. The distinctions were simply between demographic and geographic groups. And when Americans came to these shores, when people migrated to these shores, they came in different ethnic waves. It wasn't white people came to America. It was, first of all, British Europeans came to America. And then later on, Irish Europeans came to America. And then Italian Europeans came to America. And then people from different parts of Europe ultimately emigrated to America. And each group came under entirely different circumstances and with entirely different, shall we say, motivations in terms of what they were escaping from. The earliest pilgrims came escaping religious persecution. The Irish came escaping famine. The Italians came escaping, to some extent, famine as well, but it was also economic oppression and mistreatment by the patricians of their lands. A lot of southern Italians came feeling that the northern Italians oppressed them. So, and the Jews came for a variety of different reasons. You can't say, well, you know, this is a white people's problem. Because there's no such thing, really. There's no such thing. First of all, there's no people, there's no such thing. Even albinos are not white. You hold up a white piece of paper against an albino skin, you'll see they're not white. They simply don't have any melanin in their skin. But the average individual who's of European descent is a light beige. Forgive me, folks, but I'm just telling you the truth. Reddish in some cases, a reddish beige color. That's why I say the term people of color is a misnomer, because all people have color. Everybody's got color. People just have different colors and different hues and different complexions. And there are people of European descent who are of darker, swarthier skin, and people of European descent who are paler, lighter skin. I mean, come on. But Mark Cuban's got the answer. We white people are the problem. And you know what that is? Nothing but a bunch of egotistical nonsense with his condescending garbage, basically looking down on people and saying, these poor handicapped people, we superior people have to be the ones to solve their problem, because after all, the problem is us, because they don't have any ability to do anything for themselves, and we do. We can do everything for ourselves, and we can do everything for them too. And all we've got to do is just make up our minds, using his terms, as good white people, to do what we must do to solve the problems of these poor dregs of the earth, who can't expect to have the same kind of intellectual and economic and ingenuity that we have. And so we'll solve the problem. We just got to make up our minds to do it. Because after all, it's all our fault. It just robbing people of their personal sovereignty and their personal responsibility. We've got an epidemic across the country now. It happens to be more acute in minority communities in the inner cities, but we've got an epidemic of out-of-wedlock births, and that's having a ripple effect across the economy. It's destabilizing communities. It's creating gangs and violence and drug warfare and the whole gambit of social problems that plague the inner city. So is that a racial issue? Really? Mark, you're going to solve that? Because I'd love to see how you do that. You've got poor education in these communities. And this is primarily a result of a Democrat Party that won't allow parental choice in education and open up the system so that people can make choices and schools can compete for the right to educate these children in a way that their parents are happy with. Really? That's a party and ideological problem. I could go on, but I'll be right back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Recently, I ran across a story about a family that was eating dinner when the youngest member, a four-year-old, stood up in his chair and blurted out, "Pass the butter!" Well, that mother decided that she would have none of that. She turned to the child, spoke sharply, "You cannot have any dinner. We don't act like that around this house. You will ask for the butter politely or you will not have any butter at all. Anyone who acts like that doesn't deserve any dinner. Go to your room immediately." The little boy started to say something, but the mother broke in. "No buts about it. Go to your room at once." Well, most of us would agree that the child needed some discipline. No child should be allowed to stand up at the dinner table and shout like that. Children must learn to ask politely and take their turns. After supper, the father gathered the family together and told them he had a surprise for them. "I had the tape recorder on during the meal," he said, "and I want to play it back and let's have some fun. Let's just hear what we sound like while we're eating." Well, the family all gathered around and listened to the recording. Supper began on a quiet note. But before long, the group had gotten rather noisy. There was a lot of talking, loud talking, and laughing. Then, as the mother listened rather closely, she thought she heard something. "Go back and play that part again," she told her husband. Well, he rewound the tape and played the part she wanted to hear again. And sure enough, it was there. A very soft little voice could barely be heard beneath the noise and laughter. It spoke. "Would someone please pass the butter?" The recorder continued on, and for a while, all anyone could hear was the noise and the laughter. Then, just a little louder than before, the voice came again. "Would someone please pass the butter?" But the noise and laughter continued. The little voice got no reply. Then it happened. The voice boomed out, "Pass the butter!" And then the voice telling him to go to his room without any supper. The mother sent for the little boy, apologized to him, and gave him his supper. I'm afraid there are several people like that today, people who have tried to be heard in a nice way, only to have doors closed in their faces and ears that would not hear. If we would have listened to the pleading of the black man years ago, perhaps our problems in race relations wouldn't be as great today. And if we had listened to the pleas of the common man, perhaps the unions would be controlled by a different breed of people today. But we were too busy with our own chatter. One of the greatest traits one can learn is to listen. You see, when we listen, it shows that we care. And after all, that's what most people want, someone to care.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You see, folks, I am convinced that the future of our country lies in us seeing each other as individuals, not classing each other as part of some identity group. That's where the future lies. And if that's not what we ultimately turn to, we're headed for much worse problems than we're facing right now. And I'm very serious about that. I think we're headed for much worse problems than we're facing right now. If we allow our young people to get imbued with this, it's us against them mentality. It's this group, this ethnic group, this racial group, this gender group, whatever it is, against them. I can't see where that ends in a good place or in a good way. You could look at it right now, and I said the crazies have come out. By the way, I'm going to get to your calls during this segment if I can. The number is 888-589-8840. But I said the crazies are really coming out. Mark Cuban is just the first crazy I wanted to announce, because to me, that stuff that he's talking about is crazy. Bob Johnson is talking about a $14 trillion reparations payment to Americans. I mean, that's another crazy idea. To whom? To whom? Him? He's a billionaire. So to whom? What about all the black folks who came here as indentured servants and ultimately earned their freedom and really were never slaves per se. What about them? They bought land, handed it down to from one generation to another. What about them? What about the people who've come here and would never have no ancestry in slavery and have no experience with Jim Crow or any of that? What about them? I mean, this rear view mirror mindset, as you all have heard me use this analogy before, you try driving a car looking strictly in the rear view mirror, you're going to crash. And that's exactly what's happening right now. There's no vision for the future of the country. There's no vision for where we want to be as a society in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, how we want to relate to one another, interact with one another as citizens of the greatest nation the world has ever known. No. It's all look in the rearview mirror at all the stuff that's gone on, and we did this, and we did that, and we did the other, and America's a terrible place, and let's tear it up in order to make it better. Yeah, that's not even logical, let alone morally right. Here again, craziness that is going on right now. Did you all hear about this guy in Los Angeles arrested, armed to the teeth, and impersonating a National Guard? Yeah. Out there intending to try to create problems, probably by killing some people and having the National Guard blamed for it because he was dressed in a National Guard uniform. This is the craziness that's coming out. In Las Vegas, a rioter shot a police officer in the head from behind. Because after all, right, all police officers are bad. I mean, Mark Cuban says it's a white people's problem. I guess it's a police officer's problem, too. So all the police officers have to pay for the wrong of one police officer or whichever police officers have done wrong, right? I mean, if this is the collectivist mindset is supposed to carry the day, then what one does, the whole group that you can identify is responsible and should all be punished. The Minneapolis School Board voted to end their contract with the police. They had a contract with the police to provide security for the schools. They've done away with that. And this may be as crazy as Mark Cuban. John Legend and Natalie Portman and some other celebrities are signing a letter that they're sending, I think, to Congress and others, saying the time has come to do away with police, to defund police departments. And we can take that money and we can spend that money on the social needs of our people and our community, and we'll all be so much better off. These people have lost their minds, if they ever found them. If they ever had them. Because here again, that idea is about as bad as Mark Cuban's idea. Oh yeah, it's this group's problem. Folks, sin is no group problem. Sin is a universal human problem. And as I've said before, it's one of the reasons that we Christians have to remember that none of us is going to stand before God as part of an identity group. We're going to stand before God to give an account for the deeds done in the body, and we will stand there alone. And we alone will be responsible for our own actions. And we won't be able to blame that on anybody and say, well, now, you know, the group I belong to, they believe this. No, it's going to be you and God and your own deeds. And the fact of the matter is, we as Christians know that Jesus Christ has paid the awesome union price for our sins, and that our job on earth now is not to focus on our sinfulness, but to focus on the righteousness that we have through Jesus Christ and to seek to live out the plan and purpose that God has for our lives, because the punishment for our sin has already been taken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the world thinks that somehow they can find their identity in something else. And of course, if they don't even believe that there's going to be an accounting, they are in for a very, very rude awakening. Interesting way to put that, isn't it? Yeah. When they die, they're in for a very rude awakening because they're going to find themselves standing in the presence of God, responsible for every wrong thing they did, and they will not be able to claim some sort of ethnic or racial identity as the excuse for it. And that's all across the board, folks. That is all across the board. You can apply that. The problem is not that that doesn't work in certain circumstances. The problem is people try to change it and alter it and apply it in circumstances that does not relate to them. And then when it comes to them and their group, they say, oh, well, no, this is different. Yeah, yeah. I know that, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever, black people were all smeared with one broad brush. I know that. And that was wrong. But you know what? It's different now. Oh, it's different now. Because you got to smear all white people with one broad brush. Of course you do. Well, you know, that's just rank hypocrisy and wrong. Because it was wrong. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. If it was wrong applied to one group, it's wrong applied to any group. And God's not going to do that with us. God's going to deal with us as individuals. But let's do away with the police altogether. Because after all, we know they're bad, right? We know they're bad. We just proved it, right? With the death of George Floyd. One police officer's knee on George Floyd's neck, leading to his death, just proved that all police officers are bad and the celebrities are telling us what we got to do. Do away with the police. We don't need them. Well, the number is 888-589-8840. You know, you have to chuckle at some of this stuff, folks, to not weep at how confused some of our people in this country are. You just have to chuckle at it. 888-589-8840. Let's get to your calls. We'll get as many as we can before we have to go to the break. Let's go to Jim in Arkansas. Jim, welcome.
Bishop, thank you so much. I believe that me and you could really be buddies. I'm an old white man, as they say. But I'll tell you what, your philosophy on everything, I just love it. I'm from the South, and I was very prejudiced. Oh, it was terrible. And I asked God to help me. I didn't become a Christian until 23 years ago. And at that time, I emptied my soul to God about what I was doing wrong. Mm. One of them was prejudice. Jesus Christ can cure it. He can wipe it away. All the sins of the past are wiped away because Jesus Christ. Our thoughts can be cleared. Everybody's the same. Everybody. Amen. And I just want to thank you for your airtime.
Well, Jim, you are my brother in Christ. And I'm so glad to hear from you. And hearing from you is a reminder to all of us of what this is really all about. I've always said, it's not the skin, it's the sin. And when God fills your heart with love for people, you don't look at skin color. You look at an individual that God created, has a wonderful plan for that person's life, and God wants to do wonderful things in that person's life. And I know it can be a little hard depending on where people come from and their attitudes toward us. But you know, God doesn't love only people who love him. He loves everybody, and he wants to love them into a relationship with him. And I think we as Christians have got to think the same way, not hate people because they don't agree with us or because they're not on the same page as we are, but love them because ultimately what we want for them is to come to know the love of God and the forgiveness of God that we've known. And just like Jim and me, we can become brothers and sisters in Christ. Back in a moment.
And so I bought a journal, and I decided to write down, my goal was to write down one thing every day that I was thankful for.
Well, finding ways to change your perspective can have a powerful impact, and Tricia Lott Williford reflects on how she changed her outlook toward her husband on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
One thing that I noticed that he did, one thing that blessed me, something that encouraged me, just one thing every day. And so I started keeping track, and I would write down things like, Rob brought me flowers today after work, or Rob helped me fold the laundry tonight. Small things like that to give me a different lens, a different way of viewing him. And it gave me such a sharp eye. And once I realized that once I started looking for one thing every day, then I found three things or five things or six or seven.
So it worked.
It really did. It just transformed my thinking.
Hear more from Tricia at familyminute.org.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, and I want to encourage you to join us this weekend. We're going to be continuing our Encountering Jesus series. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus as he ministered one-on-one to individuals. And this week, it's the woman at the well. We're going to see the power of Christ's forgiveness, his reconciliation, how he invites us to worship in spirit and in truth. You can listen on this station or connect with us at foiradio.org.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And I can't believe how quickly this program is going. So let's get right to your calls and get as many of you on as we possibly can. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Thanks, Bishop. Thanks for being a voice of truth during all this. And yeah, you're exactly right. This is racism and drug addiction and anything else you can put out there, is these are not issues. These are symptoms of sin, and sin in individuals' lives. You know, there's no police aren't robots and different races aren't robots where you can just put in the computer program and everything's fixed. It starts, everybody, it's made up of individuals. And the only thing that can fix anything is for us to win more believers to Christ and change individuals. And only Jesus can do that. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, maybe we should implement some more programs and maybe make a new cabinet for diversity and all these kind of ideas. And, you know, I know that they're coming from good places, but they don't work. It's a sin problem. You know, it's since the beginning of time, there's been sin, and all, you know, the hatred and the groups against groups doesn't help anything. You got to love everybody and try to, you know, portray how Christ portrayed and love everybody. And, you know,
amen. So. Amen. Wesley, listen, thank you for the call. You're absolutely right. I think the more we get into, because diversity depends upon this idea, we've got to try to have everybody represented as if their being part of whatever it is brings that group into it. And it just doesn't work. I would recommend that you all read Thomas Sowell's book. It's called Discrimination and Diversity. I think that's what it's called, Discrimination and Diversity. It's by Thomas Sowell. It is an excellent book, but he talks about the fact you can't make everything and everybody equal. It's impossible, because life just doesn't work that way. People make different choices. They want different things out of life. And the more you do it, the more state power is required to take control of everything. So we need to have freedom of opportunity, okay? Equality of opportunity to the fullest extent we can, so that, you know, everybody gets to get out there and do their thing and use their skills and use their abilities, and then let them go to the highest place that their skill and their ability and their hard work will take them, as opposed to trying to manipulate everything and everybody into having some kind of false sense of equality that really ends up being state control of everything and everybody. And believe me, I'd rather have liberty with less than being controlled on the theory that I'm going to get more. And it's just a theory. It never works out that way. The elites who run the system get the more, and everybody else gets the less. And with communism does. So, okay, let's keep going here. Let's go to Belinda in Louisiana. Belinda, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Good. I love your program. I just have to tell you that. And I love you. You know, you and I have the same attitudes. It's amazing how you sometimes I'll be listening to you and you'll say exactly what I'm thinking. But you know,
well, praise God.
Mr. George, the sad thing about Mr. George is, why didn't those other policemen pull him off? Why didn't they stop it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that we haven't gotten the answer to that. One police officer apparently is alleged to have spoken up and told him to, you know, take your knee off the man's neck, but there were apparently two or three others who just kind of watched it happen. And you know, some of that, let's face it, some of that is just kind of going along to get along, and that kind of stuff that happens in almost any group. That doesn't absolve them of responsibility, mind you. But I think some of it has just to do with that. And police officers have to be better trained that you've got to do what's right, even when your colleagues may not particularly like it in a given instance. You've got to try to do what is right. So Belinda, but listen, thank you for listening and thank you for your encouragement. Really appreciate that. And let's see. Let's go to, you've been very patient, William in Oklahoma. William, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I was raised in a small town. My sister was taught by Medgar Edwards' brother, if you remember Medgar Edwards.
I do, yes.
And we were all in this town in Robbins, Illinois. And you were talking about everything is militant. My best friend with blue eyes and Bill Baines. And we were talking about who are these white and black people, because we were beige, you know, different colors of beige. But when it was in 1968, Martin Luther King, we protested. But today it's been hijacked. And I try to tell my friends, we are being played. How come every time a riot goes through, who is hurt the most? The black community, becomes the black business stores and everything like that. And some, we all have a hint when they attack the Lincoln Memorial, that it's not, yeah, that no one is thinking about us. We have to think about ourselves and think about the country. So, you know, to me, it should be evident and to more people. This is 2020. I hope it means that our eyesight is getting better. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, William, thank you for the call. I agree. I think what we need now, even more than a civil rights movement, is we need a civil responsibility movement. We need a movement that says, look, much of our society is opened up to everybody, but everybody's got to take responsibility for their own lives. My wife and I were talking before the program started, and I mean, we know folks out there got, you know, multiple children all over the place and not taking care of any of them. I'm sad. And we were saying, well, is that racism? But you see, nobody wants to talk about that. There needs to be a standard of righteousness set that says, you know, you don't get to run around and make excuses and not take responsibility for the children that you sire, and then talk about what the white man's doing to you. You don't get that. We don't want to hear it. And here again, no matter what race or ethnicity or it is coming from, or what excuses people are using, we don't want to hear that. No. You take responsibility for your life and your decisions and your actions. And see, I'm convinced of this. You can't raise a group up. It's impossible. What you can do is imbue people with attitudes and values that allow each person to raise themselves up, each person to go to the greatest place they're capable of going to. And when everybody thinks the same way, hey, I want to make something of myself. I want to do something with my life. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to be a help to my community. I want to be a help to my country. When everybody thinks that way, guess what? The whole community rises. But when you're making excuses for people, oh, it's not their fault. Oh, no, that's not his fault. He didn't, you know, don't blame him. It's the society, it's the system, it's racism, it's this, it's that. Well, that all that is a formula for keeping people in the same condition that they've been in for generations. Let's go to Robert in New Mexico. Robert, welcome.
Bishop, thank you for taking my phone call. First time caller, first time listener. So listen, I grew up in West Texas, fifth generation Texan myself personally. Listen, I agree with you 90% of what you said, but 10% of it though, Bishop, is the fact that individuals in West Texas all have the same mentality when I was growing up. You know, I was called names. My daddy was called names. My granddaddy was called names. But I agree with what you're saying.
Put it in context for us, Robert. Are you black?
No, sir. I'm Hispanic.
Oh, okay. You're Hispanic. Okay. I just wanted to be clear. You said they were called you know, you didn't. Okay. All right. I got you.
No, they did. They still called those names, man. You know, growing up
right.
in the West Texas
right.
area. And
right.
what do you do when the individual have the same mentality?
Robert, you raise a very important point, and here's the point you're raising. You can have a whole culture infected with wrong attitudes and wrong ideas. That can happen, where people don't have to conspire, they don't have to get together, it just becomes part of the culture. Look, we know that that's what happened in the South in the early part of our history. Nobody can deny that, because it became part of the cultural norm to justify the subjugation of people. And I've said that's happened throughout human history. But you know what began to break that? When Dr. King started to talk about love, when Dr. King started to talk about the importance of seeing everybody, not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. So I'm not saying that that can't happen, Robert, and that there aren't that there are easy answers when it does, okay? I do think, I would say, we're past that now for the most part. And I'm not saying it can't exist anywhere, that there can't be a bad police department or there can't be a bad community somewhere. But I think for the most part, we as Americans have gotten beyond that. And I think most of us are at that point not in life where we realize that's wrong. And most of us don't want to think that way. I think we want to look at every person as an individual. And I think that's where we are, although I'm not denying that there aren't people out there who simply haven't gotten the memo yet. So, Robert, thanks so much for the call. Let me try to get a couple more in before we have to go. One more. Joshua in Arkansas. Joshua, you're on. Let me try to get a couple more in before we have to go. Joshua, you got to turn your radio down quickly.
Hello?
Joshua, are you there? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is it Joshua or Josiah?
Joshua.
Okay. All right, Joshua.
Just want to say I'm an everyday listener to you while I'm at work driving a truck. You know, this everything that's going on, I kind of agree with your windshield and rearview mirror. It's, you know, if we stop looking at what's happened and start looking forward and saying, okay, we all need to make changes and start loving one another again, then society can start to get back to the way that it used to be. But if we keep going down the road we are now, there's no telling what it's going to be like in 3 years.
Yeah, Joshua, I don't even like to imagine if we keep going down this road, what's going to happen. It's not pretty, and I don't want it for my country. And I know all of you listening to me, you love this country, and you don't want what I think the devil is trying to give us, which is chaos and murder and mayhem and division and hatred and anger. You know, I keep coming back to the vision of our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, because that only then can we be indivisible and have liberty and justice for all. And I think here again, here's the answer to my caller who said, you know, when everybody thinks the same way, we got to come back to the God who teaches us how we really ought to think, which is loving one another, because each of us is God's creation. Folks, it's been great talking to you all. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.